Luke chapter 2, 8 to 20. Let's do this, all right? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of angels, of heavenly hosts, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread all the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Right now, air is moving around you. You can't see it, but it is. There are other things that are happening around you that you can't see. There are Wi-Fi waves running through the building. There are cell phones in your pocket that are creating waves and communication. So it's actually quite noisy if you actually could read all the stuff that's happening in here, but we can't always see it. And these waves are disturbances that produce an energy through a medium. If you had a tuner, you would be able to see, and you could see what those waves are doing. And there's different types of waves, and we don't need to get in that. But the point is that they're there, and you can't see them. But because you can't see them, it doesn't mean they don't exist. They are there, whether you like it or not. Air is here, whether you like it or not. Whether you see it or not, it is happening. You're inhaling, exhaling. You feel the effects of it, but you don't see it. That night in Bethlehem was like that, the birth of Christ. There were many that didn't see it. Many didn't know what was happening around them. Have you ever pulled into a town? Now, this is going to date me because it doesn't probably happen as much anymore, but have you ever pulled into a town where you go to find a hotel and you can't find one because they're all full? It used to be like that. You used to travel around. If you didn't phone them on a rotary, all right, yeah, you remember those, some of you. You're not getting a hotel room. And if you show up, they're like, "Sorry, we don't have any room." You can't just pick up your cell phone and get an app and book your hotel like you can nowadays. You can book it within seconds and walk in, and there you are. If you found yourself in a strange town and you didn't book it in advance, you would probably be sleeping in your car. But back in the day, sleeping in a car, they didn't have heated seats. You could travel in your car. Remember, we never put seatbelts on, and we just jump in the back of the station wagon and play games in the back. We had a giant hole in the bottom of our one station wagon. It rusted out, and you could drop stuff as you're driving. I used to remember doing that, pens, paper, you name it, all the way on our trips. It was fun. But the floor mat protected me from the asphalt. But these are trips that we did. And I remember my mother driving, and she was a very careful driver. And as she would drive, my brother would be up in his truck way ahead, and he'd look back, and there's my mom behind the wheel, and me sitting in the back, and like a lineup of vehicles behind her, just huge. And then we get to a town, and we did go to a town once where they didn't have a reservation. And it was difficult to find a place. Eventually we did. But there's a lot of panic that happens. And this first Christmas, when Jesus was coming, was like that. They couldn't just pull out their phone and get a room. And do you imagine if the owner of an inn said, "Yeah, I got a room. Like, you're the king, the son of God, this is awesome," and he kept the room, and then from that point on, it'd be like Disneyland, right? But it couldn't be like that. There's no way that God would want it to be like that. He wouldn't want it to be flashy where everybody's going to make a ton of money off of it at that time. But no one knew, and only a few did. And Mary kept a lot of this stuff close to her, and others were just getting it from the whole creation speaking out about what's going on. The star, the angels appearing, things were happening, stuff was going on. And so the world had a very important guest arriving, but they didn't know it and they couldn't see it, just like our air and just like the radio waves that we communicate with. Every year at Christmas, you invite guests to your homes. In the midst of all this busyness and family dynamics, how many got some awesome family dynamics? That's the new term for you got a problem child in your group. Okay, I found that out as we were dealing with some of my mom's stuff. They're like, oh, family dynamics. Yeah, and I'm like, it ain't dynamics. What are you talking about? Anyway, it's dynamics, right? But that's kind of what they use the term. You invite everybody over. There's family dynamics. There's all sorts of stuff. And we forget why we're meeting together. We're getting together for this one reason, and we totally forget what the reason is. I don't want you this Christmas to miss out on the important parallel of the Christmas story and your own heart. We were made to hold God in our heart. We were created by Him. And until you understand that you were made by God and for God, things in life won't always make sense fully. And unfortunately, we tend to fill our lives with so many other things and worries that we miss that part. And so our heart can be filled with so many other ideas. It can be filled with interests, values, loves, commitments, responsibilities, and we fill it with all this stuff. And what does that look like to you? I don't know. It could be your job. It could be things you worry about, family. It could be all that stuff piled in. It could be your dreams. Those things could take over of your heart where that's put number one. But this Christmas, I don't want you to forget something. I want you to remember to keep your heart and your mind focused on Jesus. Okay, your heart and your mind. How do we do that? Well, our mind, we think about Jesus. We read about, we get into scripture and we think about it. We ponder on it. We think about what it was like then and we think about what he's done for us and back then and throughout scripture and now what he's doing in your life. And your heart is where your heart is the tough one because where your treasure is your heart also. So what do you treasure more than that relationship with Jesus? And it's a good way to think about it. How can I make that better? How can I make Christ my treasure on my heart? And so in the midst of all our commitments and our responsibilities, we become so full that we're not aware Jesus is all around us. He's with us. He's where we go. He's when we gather. And God shows up in our lives at times, and he provides opportunities we never thought we would get in the midst of problems that we didn't know we were going to have. But often we don't see that. We don't always see it. And this happened in Scripture all the time. Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus would show up and talk to people who didn't realize who he was. The book of John, Jesus was sitting at the well, and many of us know the story of the woman at the well, but Jesus was sitting there, and the woman came up to him looking for water. And she didn't recognize Jesus at all. In fact, she got into a religious discussion with him. And Jesus said this, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." You need to know that God is at work all around you, even when you don't know. She was busy. She had another life that was going on and she was just in her zone. She was going to get water and coming back. She had other problems like we all do, but she had big issues happening. And she was doing her daily grind, and she missed the Son of God right there. How many of us would recognize him today? I don't know. I'm pretty busy. You're pretty busy. If you're walking to the store, you're in the Starbucks lineup, you're in the Tim Hortons lineup, whatever lineup you're in, and you need that coffee, are you really going to see Jesus very well? I don't know, because you need it. You need that coffee. Things get in the way. Unless you're Christian, then you need that hot chocolate or whatever it is. So God is doing stuff all around you, and not just during Christmas, but throughout the whole year. And it's possible that you or the people you love are just missing him. Is it possible that that's the case, that we're just missing what he's doing around us because we get so caught up? We love to overcrowd our lives. We love to overbook ourselves because how many like to say no very often? How many say yes most of the time? Are you with me? Come on. When somebody says something, yeah, sure, I can do that, or yeah, I'll go do that, or whatever. And you know you're overbooked. We overspend. We overestimate to the point of exhaustion. I can pile on a ton of stuff until I realize, uh-oh, it's too late. You've already got the responsibility. And we have to be very careful. And as I've been getting older, I've been realizing time, and I've been realizing that I need to watch what I pile on and what I say yes to and what, you know, because, yeah, I want to do good things, but sometimes at the expense of myself or of others, we can't do that. And so you have to realize in your own life, don't pile it on to the point of overdoing it, because then you get exhausted. What happens? You're walking around tired all the time. And when you're tired all the time, you're irritable. And when you're irritable, you're barking at everybody. It just piles on, and we do this all year long. And then Christmas comes, and how many look at Christmas and go, yeah, it's exciting, but oh boy, yikes, this is going to be busy, a busy season, right? Because you got family, you got responsibilities, you got Christmas parties, you got to buy gifts, you got to do all that stuff, and you just keep piling it on. So we often miss the chance to grow in our own lives and go in the direction that God wants us to go because we're overbooking and overdoing it. It's easy to do that in this country, to overdo it, because there's lots of options, especially on the West Coast. We can do pretty much anything. And too often, God will inspire us through our devotional life, through Bible study or a Sunday morning sermon or whatever it is that you heard on the radio, and we think we need to do something about it. But almost immediately, it's crowded out of our lives and forgotten because there's so many other things getting in the way. Because we've overbooked, we've overdone it, and here we are. We're like, yeah, you know, Lord, thanks for inspiring me. I'm going to do that. And then it slowly goes away. Until the next time. Hey, that's right, I was going to do something about that, Jesus. Let's work on that. And it's, well, I got this to do, I got that to do. And so we tend to overdo it. And so sometimes our blessed lives can stop us from learning what God has really wanted to teach us all along because we're so blessed. I mean, how many feel blessed today, right now? You feel blessed. Yeah, you may be going through stuff. Yeah, there may be problems, but guess what? Nobody's punishing you for coming to church. Nobody has a gun to your head the next time. No one's saying pick between Jesus or someone else. No one's doing that to you. You are blessed. You are blessed, and that's important to realize that. And so, in reality, to fulfill God's plan in your life, you likely don't have to do more. Chances are you have to do less. But who wants to do less? Because if you do less, does that mean you're not productive and you're not doing and you're not moving ahead? We like to pile it on. We like to be busy. So Mary and Martha invited Jesus over for dinner in the New Testament in Luke. And Mary spent the evening sitting at Jesus' feet listening to what he had to say. Martha, on the other hand, was busy being a wonderful hostess. She was making sure everybody was fed. She was making sure the place was clean. How many fret and worry over that stuff? Oh, people are coming. I need to clean. I need to declutter. I need to do whatever I need to do, right? Okay, so Martha's doing all this, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Everything was in place. Martha got upset, and because of all the work that she had to do, while her sister got to sit and listen to Jesus. And she's feeling ripped off. And what is said here? Jesus said to her, "Dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." She knew what was right. She knew what was correct. And she did it. well, doesn't mean that Martha's bad. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying Mary's better or Martha's. It's saying the focus is off. Worry about what Jesus is doing, the details. When someone comes to your home, they're there to see you, okay? They're there to see you, not to see whether or not you're color coordinated, not to make sure that the fork is on the right spot. Oh, that's dessert forks in the wrong. That's all nice. Presentation, I love a good presentation. Michelle's awesome at presentation, but they've come to see you. Those are extras. Those are awesome things. Don't fret. Don't worry about those things. They've come to see you. This time of year, you've got a lot of things you need to get done. There's year-end reports if you're in business. If you have any type of financial things that you need to do, there's stuff for the CRA. There's a lot of things that are happening right now to get done. Payrolls, all that. You've got holiday plans. You've got gifts to buy. You've got a lot of things that you need to get done. There's something more important to focus on this Christmas, and that's developing a personal and a evolving relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do you get to know Jesus better? There are at least two important reasons why you should get to know Jesus better. And first, it's you were created by Jesus, by God. The Bible says before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. That's John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. You have an opportunity not just to meet the creator of the universe, but also meet your creator, your personal creator. And you've heard it said, when in doubt, consult the manual. How many men do not look at a manual when they put something together? I don't. I don't, because I know more than they do. So, and if you're down a few screws, they were extras, right? Right? They always put extras in. I don't know why that is, but they do. They could probably save more money if they just wouldn't put those extra screws in. Knowing Jesus is even better than checking that. If you want to know how to get the most out of your life, why not get to know the one who created you more? Maybe you've been a Christian a long time. You need to get to know him more. Maybe you haven't. You still need to get to know him more. Secondly, Jesus opens up your heart to enjoy a life that has purpose, a life that has focus, a life that has goals. And that relationship secures your place in heaven, but it does more than just that. God promises you a life that is meaningful, but it's different. It's not necessarily how you may think. It might be something completely different than what you think is purposeful or meaningful or glory. It's meant to do his purpose, which is bigger than anything you could possibly imagine. And that's where I want to put my focus, on what he wants for me in his great big plan. Because I'm going to tell you, if God is who he is and who he says he is and what Scripture says he is, he's going to do his plan with or without us. So I'd rather be in. I'd rather be all in. And so when I do my devotionals, when I am trying to grow in Christ, it should change everything about me, how I live, the decisions I make, how I act. It should be an outward change as well as an inward change. We don't just act the part, it's in us. And so as Christmas approaches, think of the innkeeper who didn't make room for Jesus on the first day of his life. His actions did not stop Christ from being born. So whether the innkeeper had room or not, Jesus was coming. When you're on your road trip, whether you've reserved a spot or not, you're going there. It's happening. You're on your way. Nothing is stopping you. Don't miss the opportunity to get to know him. Don't miss the opportunity this Christmas. Absorb everything around you that's happening with your family. Build those memories. Pour into others. And there is really only one thing that matters. when we are asked in the end what really matters, it's whether or not you knew the Son of God. It's whether or not you had a relationship with Him. And that's the important part in life, to live it out, knowing Him. They're not going to ask you in heaven, what extra Christmas presents were you able to purchase for the family? Did it look nice? You know, did the table match the chairs or whatever? They don't ask you that. Was it the perfect meal? None of that's going to be asked to you. What does matter is us getting to know Jesus, because it's an eternal investment. And so this Christmas, enjoy the season. Enjoy the snow while it lasts. Enjoy wrapping Christmas presents. Enjoy having people over. Enjoy having dinners. Enjoy decorating. Enjoy thinking about where you're going to go after Christmas is done. Pour into what you're doing and just absorb it all. Suck it all in and experience the moments. But don't let this Christmas pass without being at the feet of Jesus Christ, the one who made it all, the one who we're doing this all for. Long after everything else fades from this Christmas, Jesus is still going to be here. Jesus is still with us. He's the focus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that we have this season where we can focus on His birth, that all the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled and promised in Him. And so we thank you that we can celebrate His birth with purpose, with reason. But don't let us lose our focus on the reason why we celebrate it. Yes, it's great to be around family. Yes, it's great to get together. But let us be focused on Jesus, on building memories. That's what love, joy, peace is all about this season. To spread that to our families, to people we know, the love, the peace, the joy of Jesus Christ. Because He came, there was a plan in store for us in the end. And so I pray for everyone here in this room. Let them be safe as they travel on these roads today. Give them a peace that only you can give this Christmas. Let them be focused on you, at the same time showing the love of Jesus Christ to their family and friends as they gather together. And so we thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I hope you have a great week.